Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey friends, welcome to another edition of the Tennis and Bagels podcast. This is your host, Vansh, and joining me today, we have a very special guest. First time on this podcast. I follow him on Twitter. He does some great work, some really good analysis, and he writes for the Action Network. So definitely check him out. And his name is David Gertler. And here he is on your screen on the left if you're watching on YouTube. But hey there, David, how are you doing today? It's a pleasure to have you on.
Hey, thank y'all so much for having me. I really do appreciate it. I love talking women's tennis especially, so I was so glad when you reached out.
Yeah, no, it was long overdue, and I know what a big fan you are of women's tennis, and there's no better guest, I think, in my opinion, to break down this 2023 Wimbledon women's singles draw with you. So I'm happy to just dive right in, go section by section, unless you have some maybe broader takeaways that you kind of had, like just looking at the draw first glance without looking into any match in specific, like what stood out to you?
Oh, the third quarters. What stood out to me? Wow, it seems unbalanced, right? You have in that third quarter, you have Jabeur, you have Jabeur, former finalist, Pliskova, former finalist, Kvitova, two-time champion, Hadad Maia, who proved last season that she is a threat on grass. You have Ostapenko, who just won a grass title. You have Rybakina, last year's champion. And I mean, you even have Katie Bolter, who just won a grass court event herself this season. It is good. That third quarter is definitely what stood out to me. And really, the bottom half as a whole, just it feels uneven, right? At least to me. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I think uneven is a good way to put it, actually. I was thinking it was kind of unbalanced as well, just because you have a lot of the bigger hitters on the bottom half and a lot of the flatter, you know, first strike tennis players who can really just take the racket out of your hand. And then in a way, I think, you know, we'll get onto this, but I think it's a great draw for Iga Świątek to just not have to play any of those power hitters and players. And I, you know, she pulled out of bad homework this week, you know, citing the, you know, full and illness. And, you know, I don't know, like generally, like these are pretty speculative, like, you know, you just do this like as precaution, you know, before a couple of days before the event starts. And, you know, if it's really something crazy, like, you know, we'll find out on Monday, like how much it's really impacting her. But I wouldn't suggest it's much to really worry about in terms of like her chances as far as the first couple of rounds.
No, especially with how soft her early round draw is, it feels like she'll have time to gain momentum, gain form through her. Yeah. I really always take these major injuries and illnesses with a grain of salt, big time, because ultimately everyone wants to, you know, same with Ostapenko, right? Like she pulled out yesterday with Georgie. It's like, all right, we know that if she won that set, she wasn't going to pull out. If she lost that set, she was going to pull out. So I don't usually take it seriously.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess if we just talk about the section, I mean, we have Martins as the third round seed, and we have, you know, and I know you're going to have your eye on the Trevisan versus Sarah Serubis double. That's just your kind of match with two of the best clay quarters, I guess, at Roland Garros the last 2 or 3 years. But I mean, like, do you see sort of, like, I mean, Bencic is the fourth round seed, but, you know, she's not been really playing a ton lately, and her confidence is really in doubt in terms of, like, especially since I would say the Middle East swing hasn't, she hasn't really been, you know, a major contender anywhere. And she pretty much skipped most of the clay court season too.
Yeah, it's such a shame because she actually considers grass as her favorite surface. She's 53 and 25 on grass in her career. It's such a shame that she's undercooked, right? Like, if she had played some grass warmups and had some moderate success, I would probably consider her the favorite to reach the quarterfinals. But unfortunately for her, it's hard to, you know, and Katie Swan will have the British crowd behind her. I don't necessarily think that's a given. And then you have a big hitter and Danielle Collins. And so for me, it's no guarantee she even makes the third round, let alone can go deep. You are right. I loved some SST, despite what happened at the French Open. I think that she probably beats Trevisan, and she'll give Iga a test in the sense of the ball's not going to be in Swiatek's strike zone. With the backhand slice, she's going to spread the court, the drop shot. It's going to be, I can't remember if we were on air or off air. You talked about the Kerber match with SST a couple years ago. You know, she can play on grass better than I think people think. And so I think it's a very safe test, you know, for Swiatek early. And if she can overpower Cerebus Tormo and gain that rhythm from the baseline on grass, which she sometimes lacks, I think it'll be a good sign. I think that, I wonder what your thoughts on Harriet Dart. Do you think she can make the third round, where she's positioned in the draw?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, with these Brits, like I see a lot of success generally, you know, in Nottingham, for example, or on these English grass courts where they just have loads of experience over the rest of the field. So I do kind of like them in the early stages just to kind of make some noise. And then after the third round, I'm really like not so sure anymore.
Yeah.
But I definitely think against Diane Berry, that's going to be somewhat interesting. You know, if it was on a clay court or a hard court, I probably would have said no chance. But I just think Dart can, you know, bring some firepower, especially off the backhand. She can hit it pretty deep and hard down the line, and I think that opens up things for her. And, you know, I don't know how battle tested Diane Berry really is on the grass so far.
I believe she has 8 career matches on grass.
Actually. Yeah, it's like a very small sample size compared to Dart, who's like, you know, grew up on this stuff. So I definitely could see her challenging for a third round spot. I probably would still back Martich, just because like I do think that low backhand slice is going to work very well in terms of, especially even if she plays Iga, it's going to be a good test for Iga to like, just, she's going to be put in places in the court where she's not as comfortable, and maybe she might be drawn in. She might be forced to come to the net a few more times. She might be, you know, having to, for instance, scrape forehands with that Western grip, like really from a really low contact point. And I think it could just be a great test because, you know, Martin is not really going to blow her off the court. She does usually have some big injections of pace on the forehand wing, but it doesn't seem like it's not a player who can overpower Iga, let's just say. So in terms of like building baseline rhythm and largely playing the kind of tennis she wants to, I don't think there's anyone like in this. That's why I think she has a really good draw, Swiatek, because I just don't see anyone who can really blow her off the court.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually think that having Cerebus Tormo the round before Martich will help her, because like I was saying before, that backhand slice is something that Cerebus Tormo, especially on grass, applies a lot. So that'll kind of get Iga used to the low skidding shots when Petra Martich, which as you mentioned, has one of the best backhand slices on the tour. I think it'll be a nice like warm up for her. And I think the big thing for Swiatek is that there's no like massive hitters that are going to like your Ostapenkos or Rybakinas or Sabalenkas that can just, especially on grass, make her feel so rushed and uncomfortable. And so I think that that's very good that she kind of got some less powerful players.
Yeah. I'm curious to see who like her fourth round opponent will be, because that bench section is pretty wide open. I could even see Katie Swan maybe be primed for the upset just because of how little rhythm benches just has, and she's tended to kind of underperform in majors even when she's healthy. So but I look at, like, in the past I would have said Streetsova or something, but of course she's not at that level right now, and she's coming off a protected ranking, and it's probably too much of an ask. And you know, maybe
I do think Streetsova is going to beat Zanevska.
I do too, yeah.
I don't like Zanevska on grass, and Streetsova actually already beat her earlier this season since her comeback on clay. And so the name that stands out to me, and I know she's not had a lot of success recently, but Danielle Collins, if she can put it together, which, you know, maybe she gets some confidence. Good grab air is not good on clay. I mean, off of clay. And so maybe she can get some confidence from that match. And then maybe if it's Katie Swan, she can overpower her. And so I think that, you know, that, you know, if Danielle, and this is like a, such a big if she can just find her range from the baseline and not hit 1,000 unforced errors, she could be dangerous.
Yeah. I tend to think so, especially because she did that a few times last year. Like, you know, just, I think she didn't play anything after Wimbledon, or she played like one clay tournament post Wimbledon, and then she just went straight to the Open. And then, you know, like got to the fourth round where it was a setup on Sabalenka, and like, it seems like it's easier to, for her to find that kind of footing on a hard court, but I definitely could see it, like if she's totally in the zone here.
It's just like, who else, right?
Yeah, it's like, this is kind of a like section where it's like, yeah, this is just a lot of chances, and I just don't know, like, just kind of depends who shows up on what day, but like,
yeah. And that's really this top quarter as a whole. It's yeah. Like, you know, would it, you know, I think that, and I'm curious what you think. I think in this bottom half of the top quarter, I have Kazakina as the favorite here. Now, as you were saying, I know this was pre-recording that, you know, winning, or maybe someone was telling me recently that, you know, winning Eastbourne's not good necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever like won Eastbourne and then gone on to win Wimbledon or even get to the second week is pretty tough for most of the previous winners. Although, yeah, I mean, I think we were talking off air that like the Kazakina going deep and fighting.
Yeah, yeah, that's
the week before a major like hasn't tended to bode well for the early round, especially like she won the title in Granby and then lost in the first round to Harriet Dart at the U.S. Open. And then I think of Australian Open this year where, again, she was helped out by some withdrawals, of course, in that tournament. But then, you know, she lost in the final of Adelaide 2.
Yeah.
Another 500 and then, you know, went out early, didn't have anything left against Varvara Gracheva. Yeah. and then now this year, I mean, she's in the final against Keys of Eastbourne. So,
yeah,
I wonder.
It will be interesting how she handles that big hitter, you know, in Keys.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, whether she's able to force errors like she did with Georgie today or whether Keys just blasts her off the court. I do think that the draw in the first round is favorable. I know Dolohan's big serve, but she really has that heavy, big wind up on the forehand. I think that you're going to be able to rush her. I also don't think that she's gonna, you know, gonna be able to like move around that well and be able to retrieve the variety in terms of like Kazakina's drop shots and then the slices at her ankles. I don't love that matchup for Caroline. McNally in the second round could be tough though.
She's actually a dark horse that I had pre-tournament.
Oh, really?
McNally, just because I, you know, the game to like kind of move forward, the slice, the finishing touches at net, the, you know, serve is a little bit better and she's like kind of more confident in terms of her baseline level now where I feel like it's like you could firmly say like, okay, she's a top 75 player.
Yeah.
Whereas you couldn't really say that like, for instance, last year at this time. And it's like, I think this is, her floor is going up.
I like her on quicker surfaces too. I think she has a nice attacking game. And Burge in the first round, Burge did make a WTA final, I believe, in Nottingham earlier this grass season. But I don't, when I watch her, I don't see much, honestly. I don't see very high ceiling. And I think that McNally's the better player.
I agree.
And so that'll be interesting. What are your thoughts on Coco?
You know, it's kind of a mixed bag because I was impressed with her performance over Pegula. But then again, you know, she and Pegula are friends. Like, they practice and train quite a bit. And Pegula, I thought, didn't really play a very smart match. Like, she was up 3-love in the second set and just, you know, made a lot more unforced errors than we're used to seeing. And I thought Goff had a fairly good day on her forehand. And she was doing a good job of mixing in the slice as well, which I think is a good option for her on grass and probably one that she could use a bit more because she's not going to have that clay court effect, for instance, on grass, where she can just use that, you know, forehand down the line, pattern changing shot to then, you know, lead into her backhand, for instance, if she goes line or hard deep cross court, and because she wants to be hitting as many backhands as possible. And I just think on grass, like, unless, you know, and I don't think Pegula is the type of player that for instance, like Alexandrova did like the week before, and just rush that forehand wing and then just get a lot of purchase out of it. Like Pegula is just, she's going to be a lot more flat and accurate and linear. And I think that's probably gives Pegula, I mean, probably gives Goff a little bit more time. And when Goff has time, she can, you know, that's where she can impose the rest of her game, not the forehand. But no, to your point, I think she's persistent to do well here. I just think Kennan in the first round is tricky, coming off the qualities and having won those three matches here. And then also, who else in this section, really? I mean,
yeah, you know, and I think that the section, you know, I know that Kazakina leads the head-to-head with Goff 3-0.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I feel like Goff, like you were saying, you have your Alexandrovas, your keys that are able to just blast her off the court. Yeah. And I think that she largely avoided that with this section. You know, you get Kennan in the first round. Now, Kennan did defuse Townsend's game, which I was in qualies, which I was impressed that Kennan qualified.
Yeah,
she is, you know, a major champion. She's a great competitor. I do like Goff's chances there. And then let's say, I think it'll probably be Storm Hunter in the next round. Big lefty serve, big lefty game. But the thing about playing a lefty playing Goff is that it goes into her strength with the cross court forehand into her backhand. And that lefty slider out wide on the ad side can go into, again, into Goff's backhand, which is by far a better shot. And then, like, I, you know, whether it's Svitolina or Mertens, you know, they're both game competitors. And, you know, Venus, good for her for beating Georgie. As a Georgie fan, that was extraordinarily disappointing. But good for her winning that. I don't think she's going to beat Svitolina. I don't think she has the rally tolerance. Regardless of whether it's Mertens or Svitolina, though, in the third round for Goff, they just don't have the power to rush her forehand and rush her like Keys or Alexandrova does. So I actually think it's a pretty good draw, at least until the fourth round for Goff. And, you know, Goff doesn't, you know, Goff generally beats the player she's supposed to beat. So,
yes.
You know, and what do you, you know, and I know Vika, we haven't talked about Vika. She's sitting there, but she's out of form. I really don't like how she's playing, to be honest.
I'm not high on her at all right now. Just, I haven't really liked what I've seen, like, since Australia, to be honest. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Just hasn't really been there. Like, in the flashes, like, it just... I'm not feeling good about the... You know, like, her draw is okay. Like, you know, it's... She has a shot, for sure, like, if she gets to the third round, but it's just... I don't really know. I don't really see it. Like, I don't really see it for her this tournament. But like, maybe I'm sleeping on Runchakova or something, because she's had some good results recently, and she beat Tausend in the qualies, and she has a win over Andreescu as well this grass season. And
yes, although I don't, do you remember that match?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Andreescu, he had like 10 set points in the first set, and then imploded in
his. That was not a good match for me.
Takes her.
Yeah. No, she does. She does. That's why I was going to give her a shot, because, yeah, like if she serves really big and has a really high first serve percentage or something. And but I just think Svitolina is probably going to absorb that serve much better. And especially with the Venus Williams match under her belt, and, you know, just overall her confidence from Roland Garros, and she kind of has that swagger about her now. And she's just, you know, kind of just playing a lot better. Like, honestly, might be some of her best tennis. So
yeah, you're talking about Svitolina, right?
Yeah,
or Hrunta, or Kuzmova, Hrunta.
Runchakova or something. Yeah.
By the way, folks, that's Kuzmova. For those that don't know,
that was her maiden name, but now, yeah.
Yes, because that confused me when I first. I'm like, who is this in the draw? And then it made sense.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, here's just a name to keep in mind, is that I think that if, let's say, Azarenka makes round two, Martinsova is better than you would think on grass. She's had some success over the past 2 years. She's played over 50 matches on grass. What she does well, which I actually think Magdalena Freak does well as what too, is that they are able to rally. The bounces on grass don't affect them as much as they affect other players. Like, they're able to stay consistent and move the ball around in grass in a way that a lot of players struggle with. So just keep that, and just another name to keep in mind.
Yeah, I do like her on the faster surfaces in particular. Martin Shafar.
Holderowska is a good first-round matchup for her.
Yeah, for sure. But honestly, I probably have Goff coming out of the section still, just because, you know, I just see her after the Kennan match, especially, like, not having many issues. My dive horse was McNally, but... So, I really want to see a match between McNally and Kazekina.
Yeah, I see, my pick would be Kazekina. My dark horse in this section would be... I guess we can't really call Coco a dark horse. My dark horse is going to be? My dark horse will be Svitolina. I'll just say, you know, she's made a semifinal, right? Like, she,
yeah.
I know she doesn't have the greatest grass court record, but she knows how to play big matches, you know, at least until the later stages of the majors. And she generally beats the players she's supposed to beat as well. And, you know, she's, well, we'll see what happens if she plays Goff in the, third round. That'll be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, that'll be a big test for sure. But yeah, kind of similar to Halep in a sense. I kind of consider Svitolina a little bit like Halep, but just...
Yeah. Except for no major. But no major and no doping. But no doping ban either. So it's kind of...
Well, yeah.
Given hate.
In terms of like that counterpunchy game style and just, you know, absorbing the pace on the backhand and... But not, at the same time, not really having that overwhelming power that could maybe... But at the same... Like, not having that overwhelming power like of a big hitter that could, you know, disrupt Goff and the big forehand, take back and all of that, all of those things. But at the same time, it'll probably challenge Goff's ability to finish points. And
I think that Goff, the problem with Goff sometimes is she gets a little too defensive, relying on her athleticism and speed a little more. And on grass, you can't do that as much. You have to step up. And I thought that against Pegula yesterday, she did a very good job of stepping up in the court. But then again, Pegula, and I see her kind of like at the bottom of the screen, she's I think that she actually has the draw to go on a little bit of a run, but at the same time, I think there's basically a zero. I don't like how she's playing at all, and I think there's basically a 0% chance she wins the event as a whole. I just think that she has a very favorable draw at the beginning, but it won't translate to her actual level is, at least in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't been too high on Pegula really since Charleston, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Really since Madrid, you know, took an early loss in Rome, and then obviously the shocker was the 3-1 result against Mertens. She did have some food poisoning, I heard, like the week before, but, you know, she got through those first two rounds, and you wouldn't have thought it would be super one-sided in the way that Mertens was able to just, you know, to take her apart like that, really, but in majors. So there has been a little bit of a thing going on where I felt like, okay, Pegula could have got a little deeper, especially in Australia when she played Azarenka, for instance. And, you know, the overall floor, I feel like, is not quite as high as it was just 3-4 months ago. So maybe there are just some vulnerabilities there. And I would have thought before this that, you know, maybe she can kind of pencil her into the quarters kind of a thing before I saw the draw. But I don't know. Like, I mean, like, for example, like Masarova, you know, had she not like gotten injured yesterday, or like, she was going to be one for me to watch for sure.
Now, like, she did post on Instagram. I don't know if you saw that she's fine.
She's fine. Okay.
That's what, you know, it's coming from her, but I still, you know, if she wasn't fine, I think she might have not posted anything at all. So the fact that she went out of her way to post that she's fine, we have Siniakova, who's in the final of Bad Homburg this week and is really playing another one that is fine with the bounces on grass, you know, high rally tolerance, her variety, and the way her net game is world-class. I think that, but I think in regards to Pegula, you mentioned it earlier, how she was making some errors yesterday against Goff, and how she was, you know, I think that she just does not have the power, this is one of my buzzwords, the controlled aggression I guess Buzz Brady's the controlled aggression necessary on a surface like grass. And I don't think her serve is big enough either. Goff was able to break her five times yesterday. And so I don't trust her, especially if she has to play a Samsonova in the round of 16 or, you know, even a Masarova. We saw even Camila Osorio, who, let's say she plays her in the third round. She got a 6-1 set off of Pegula and Eastbourne. So that one, you know, there's really no guarantees. You know, I don't think Lauren Davis is going to give her problems. And I don't necessarily think, you know, maybe Buxa can keep it fairly close. But do I have confidence in Pegula right now? No.
Yeah, I kind of feel similar, although the first two rounds are like, yeah. I mean, I don't see any issues in either match that she's supposed to play. But the third round is where it would get interesting against either a Masarova or an Osorio. Yeah, Osorio, especially with the variety that she has. And like you said, the 6-1 set does make wonder kind of, you know,
what's going on
a little bit off, you know, on that day. That could certainly be some problems. But, you know, ordinarily, I would have said, you know, Samsonova was a big favorite or something to get out of the section with the big game that she has on grass. But I've just not been high on her ever since she lost at Abu Dhabi final to Bencic from 4 match points up. I feel like, she's losing a few too many of these close matches where she's in prime position and she's showing good flashes of form in between, where you watch like 15 minutes of her and you're like, man, that serve and that forehand, absolutely unplayable right now. But then you also see like a bad patch where she's just missing wide and she's spraying a lot of errors long and she's just not playing very smart in her construction.
Exactly. Not playing very smart. You know, and even when she's winning the close matches as well, Bunch, like when she played Papadakis in one of these grass court tournaments, she won 7-6 in the third. She did, but she still didn't look impressive in that match either. It's you're right. It's you watch 15 minutes and it's like, wow, she has a chance to win Wimbledon. Then you watch the next 15 minutes and it's like, oh my gosh, she's going to lose to Bogdan in round one, right? Because yeah. Bogdan can keep the ball in play and was not terrible this grass court season. And so, you know, it's almost like the player she might play in the second round, Alicia Parks, where it's just like every point feels like roulette. You know, is it going to be an ace? Is it going to be a double fault? Is it going to be a winner, unforced error? It's just such, you know, not reliable tennis. And so this is another just wide open section of the draft.
Have you been a little bit underwhelmed by Zhang this year?
Yes.
Because I certainly thought by now she would be further along.
Yeah, you know, I felt like she's maybe, I've heard, so again, I can't remember where I'm hearing these things. She had a shoulder issue, apparently.
Yes, which she did, yeah.
Which would help explain some of her issues. But at the same time, I feel like she's not imposing herself from the baseline as much as she should. Like when I was watching her on clay this year, and even though I know clay, you have to have the rally tolerance and all of that, I felt like there was that time she was just looping in too many shots when she could have really stepped up in the court. And then maybe in 2021 she did, or 2023, geez, okay, 2022,
yeah, last year,
she could have, like, where she was stepping in more and, like, you know, challenging Swiatek from the baseline, which she's the only one in 2022 who got a set off the bird, you know. And then to lose, you know, I think Kudermetova is going to be a big threat in the top half, but she lost in straights to her. She lost in straights to Pegula, and then Pegula went on to look like crap afterwards. You know, second round of the French is not great. You know, if we go back to clay season, it just feels like you're 100% right, that she's just not progressing like the way we expected her to.
Yeah. And let's see if something clicks, because I know obviously now Goff's coach is Pierre Riba, which was with Zhang there. So,
yeah, I noticed. I saw her. I saw him in the box. I was like, oh, when did this happen? I think he's a hitting partner, maybe hitting partner coach, like a Sasha Bajan. I don't know. That'll be interesting to see how that improves Goff's game and how it affects Kinwin.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. I guess this is most of the top half, except for, you know, this Kudermetova is one that man, like she could go on deep run, but it's just Vondrousova is interesting to watch on grass too, just with the lefty serve and the. At the same time, she doesn't have a very big serve.
Yeah,
It's very kind of like Haddad Maia like, in terms of where it's like she keeps it like deep, like she does a good job of like not being like super attackable, but it's not like a weapon either, you know.
Yeah. And then on grass, you need your first serve to be more of a weapon. And I don't think that her forehand, you know, I think it's a little loopy for a quicker surface. I believe Vondrousova is only 7-12 on grass in her career. So it hasn't, I think she has potential. I don't, you know, she's not had success in the past. Kudermetova, though, is someone that I think, if not Swiatek's coming into this top app, I think it's going to be Kudermetova, to be honest. Like she is 24, so she's had decent grass court experience. She's 24-14, and I believe 6-1 this season, having beaten Sabalenka in Berlin before she pulled out. And then also she made the Rosmalen final. It was very close, very, very close to winning that title over Alexandrova. I think that Kudermetova has the pace on the forehand, but I also think that she absorbs pace well, which will be important when she's playing someone like Kanepi in the first round, although Kanepi's playing like ITF clay events right now, or what if she has to play Garcia or Samsonova Garcia in the fourth round or Samsonova in the quarterfinals. So I'm very high on Veronica. And I also think that she's a good matchup. I mean, that Vekic is a good matchup for her. So Vekic did make the final at Berlin, but Vekic just lost her last six sets to Kudermetova, including going 0-2 last season. It seems like, you know, and I know Vekic was not at her current level for both those events, but I actually think that Kudermetova does a good job of absorbing Vekic's pace and counterpunching. And so while I would have liked Vekic in other circumstances, in basically any other circumstance in the top half, maybe besides Iga, I don't actually like her matchup against Kudermetova.
That's interesting. To be honest, I didn't know the head-to-head between Vekic and Kudermetova. So that's good that you bring that up, because I was going to probably have Vekic as my third course. And then you made a good point about the pace absorption also of Kudermetova, because she did that really, really well in that Sabalenka match. Like, my God, was that a big strength? Because, I mean, against most players with that level, Sabalenka still would have been able to push that to a third.
Yeah.
But just the fact that this, like, particularly on the back end, like, just the way that she can just smoothly absorb it, it's quite good. And I also find her serve to be quite underrated and tough to read as well, just with the lower ball toss and just how quick that motion is. When it gets going, that thing can, she can get quite a good rhythm on it.
And I also think, you mentioned the serve. I think it's well placed. And also the fact that, like, and I know this isn't a lot of matches, but having played nearly 40 matches on grass, that's a lot more than, like I mentioned before, I think Vondrousova is 7-12. That's nearly half, you know, like she's got more grass match play than a lot of the players. And I also just want to mention you mentioned the head to head. That's just their last three matches. I can't remember if they played before that, but that was like the most recent ones.
Kind of consider Donna October 2022 and beyond a little bit different. So there is that to.
Yes.
If it matters, of course.
And she loves the grass, and she has a great grass court person behind her and Pam Shriver, one of the best, in the business. So I think that was a great addition to her team.
Yeah, and then of course, then it's just going to be interesting to see who retires Kontaveit, because of course,
yeah,
this could have been easily could have been Silvay Shea in the close.
Yeah, oh, but
I feel a bit, yeah, it was a bit bummed out. Yes, no, Stefanini. Stefanini is a decent grass courter, actually. I was watching her.
Two-handed on both sides.
Yeah. It's to watch her and Shea go at it was some experience, for sure.
And if, you know, I think Kontaveit will probably sneak that one out. I don't know, because it's so hard to say, like, where Kontaveit's rally tolerance is going to be. I don't think, you know, if she does sneak it out, I don't think, you know, Bozkova last year showed she can play on grass.
I think it's going to be Bozkova that ends it.
And honestly, like, I would not like Garcia's chances against Bozkova either, given just how, you know, Garcia, is one of the most frustrating players because it's like so many self-inflicted. It's just so self-inflicted with her.
Way too overly aggressive.
Yeah. And just on grass, you really need to be standing like basically on the service line.
Yeah. And it's like one of those mindset things. Like if you ask her about it, you know, she'll be like, oh, you know, it's that's just how it is. Like I'm not really going to change it because I had no clarity the way before. But she's kind of taking that to the whole other extreme where it's just like, it's so frustrating to watch her because when it clicks, it's like, man, good luck. But then other times it's like, what are you doing? Just take a step or two back. But, you know.
What do you think? Do you think that, I was going to ask, do you think Shui Zhang, but Shui Zhang's on such a long losing streak, even though she's pretty good on grass. But I am curious, do you think Vekic can be challenged by Sloane in the second round?
That's the question, isn't it? I mean, Sloane has not been on the grass right now, right? Like, I haven't seen her play any grass events the last 3 weeks. So, like, you
know, she lost early in one, we're forgetting.
I mean, certainly on grass, like, she's made one Wimbledon quarterfinal before.
Not a great grass court.
But she's just not, like, she just doesn't have, yeah, she just doesn't have that natural instinct. Like, at least with Svitolina, you know that you're going to get some. You're going to get a little bit more offense and you know the footwork is going to be quite active and you know, like, sort of, she's not going to throw in a stinker usually below her level. But with Stephens, like, I just don't know, like, where her head is at right now in terms of.
So she did make the quarterfinals of one of the craziest majors in the last 10 years.
2013?
And she was a part of Marion Bartoli's big run to the title.
I remember she actually played quite well that tournament, but it's just
she was the closest to Bartel. Like the semifinal and the final were a lot more lopsided than that. Quarterfinal was 6-4, 7-5. So she could have, you know, she honestly could have been if she won that match. Given what we know, Plepkin's in the semifinals, and then Sabine Lisicki was a mess in the final. She probably would have won the title if she won that match. That's pretty crazy to think about.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, I think, but I just figured, you know, Sloane, you just never know. She sometimes plays up to the competition. I just thought I would ask.
Yeah. I mean, if she plays Vekic, that would already be a step up because, yeah, I mean, I don't really think we're missing anyone. I would be surprised if Garcia got to the quarters personally.
You would be surprised.
At this point.
She did win doubles in Berlin. So, you know, maybe she has some confidence from that. And she seemed like she was, you know, I watched the match, you know.
Against Kvitova, she looked better. That's for sure. And
it's just so hard. You know. She could knock, you know, she'll probably.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
She'll probably totally overwhelm, you know, volley nets with pace. But then, you know, against Fernandez, you know, Fernandez is able to, you know, attack her backhand. And if she's just a little off, that could be the upset there before she even reaches Voskova.
Yeah. They had a very tight match in Indian Wells, which was, yeah. it was at times frustrating to watch Garcia not close that out in two sets, but I'd love to. But obviously, you know, Fernandez is also someone who I probably would have had higher at this point had she not been injured last year for like that 3 or 4 month stretch with her foot injury. But
Yeah, so I like Kudermetova to go through, and then my dark horse would be Bubowskova, I'd probably say. As much as a seeded player can be a dark horse.
Yeah, for sure. This would be a little different from you. I'm going to take Vekic.
Okay. Fair, very fair.
I'll probably take Vekic, actually, to get to the quarters.
Yeah, because I feel like whoever comes out of this, and I feel like whoever comes out of this bottom, like, section four is probably going to beat whoever comes out of section three. Like, the what is it? The third eighth versus the fourth eighth. So that'll, I mean, what do you think? Do you agree?
I do. I would just want to see Pegula in the first couple of rounds. Mm-hmm. Just so, like, if she's, like, blitzing, oh my god.
You okay?
Okay.
Everything good?
It's gonna wait for this to die. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
You could probably hear the background noise, right?
Oh, I didn't hear any of that, no.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay, cool. Yeah, I wanted to pause a little bit just because there's a lot of noise and going on outside my room, but...
Oh. That's okay. I didn't hear any of it.
No, I was just going to say, like, I'm curious to see how Pegula comes out in the first couple of rounds. And if she's sort of, it looks like, okay, you know, she's really feeling it, this tournament. And she could, because I didn't get that feeling in the first two rounds of the French, for example. And I haven't really got that feeling so far, even in the matches that she should be winning. And if I kind of see that, okay, like, you know, she's kind of here to, like, you know, she's sort of back at that level where, okay, like, she's hitting stronger down the middle. She's got, like, that, she's got the kind of game, like, on a low bouncing court that could, you know, make players press and go for too much because of how little direction she gives in her shots. And it's just like, at the same time, like, do I see an overwhelming, until Samsonova, do I really see someone that can, you know, overpower her? Probably not. So.
Fair.
It's tough.
It'll be interesting, like, if she's beating Lauren Davis, like, 6-3, 7-6, where, like, does she end up...
Yeah, that's what I mean. Wait, it's a grind. Like, if she loses a set or something, then I'm kind of going to be like, okay, like, I don't think she's going to get to the quarters. And yeah. Then maybe it's probably going to be up for grabs. But
yeah, either Vekic, Kudermetova, or, you know, maybe Gerskup. Or, I mean, I guess we have to throw Gersi in the conversation, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Samsonova, I wish, you know, if it was the Samsonova that blitzed through the 2021 Wimbledon, you know, until the Pliskova match,
right,
had great warm-up, that'd be a different story. But
2021 Berlin coming in and beat Bencic, and that was,
she
really made her mark. But
yeah, I feel like we did a pretty good job with the top half of the draw.
Yes, I should have seen go to the bottom and move things along. But what are kind of your thoughts on Jabeur and Kvitova in this section? Kvitova has obviously been a predictions nightmare because she hasn't won this thing since 2014, and she keeps having all these awesome, you know, warm-ups, and you'd figure, like, on paper she should be the best player on grass and it's all clicking. But in terms of her draw, she probably has a good first round match. Although, you know, didn't Paulini beat her at the French Open?
No, that was Cochirito.
That was Cochirito. Okay, yeah.
But, you know, and that was also Kvitova was coming back from injury and on her favorite surface. It's very much, I would say that Kvitova is, it's so hard to say because she's looked, as you mentioned before, she's looked great coming into Wimbledon before. And then all it takes for her, she plays such low margin tennis, is one fuck up and, you know, one bad day and she's done. You know, Sasnovich has, a lot of power and variety in the second round. I think she should be able to overpower Paolini in the first round. Then Pliskova, you know, Pliskova has been out of form for a while. She started to show some life. She did beat Elise Mertens. She, you know, Kazakina's in the finals of Eastbourne, and she took a set off her. And if not for a terrible line call, might have a horrendous line call, maybe would have won that match. Hard to say. That's not the easiest second or third round. You mentioned Jabeur. I think Jabeur has, not only is she injured, she doesn't like playing power players because power players did not you know, like in this case, I remember this match from the Cincinnati match with Masters last year. The power players, as was the case also with the Rybakina in the U.S. Open or in the Wimbledon final last year, they don't allow her the time to produce her variety. And she's also just not looked great since coming back from her injury. And so for me, again, I mentioned her earlier, Magdalena Freak is a better than you would think grass court player who's going to be a test in the first round. And then in the third round, you know, Kalinina is going to either Kalinina or Andreescu. I actually think it's probably going to be Kalinina. I don't like how Bianca's playing. And then in the fourth round, it's, you know, Pliskova or Kvitova. That's not going to, I just don't see it for, you know, Jabeur just to play, you know, in the quarterfinals, Rybakina or Ostapenko or, you know, maybe Bolterre. And so for me, you know, and then Tatiana Maria is also in the other side of this section. But anyways, I think that Jabeur, this is just not the year for Jabeur, given her form and the draw. And yeah, I don't think we could have any trust in her, especially given what we saw the other day versus Georgie, and just overpowering her from the baseline.
Yeah, very fair, because I have seen a lot of those Kvitova Jabeur matches, and Jabeur's really struggled to, you know, get her slice into play, absorb the pace. The second serve has been attacked like crazy. And, you know, even I think Cincinnati 2021, it was a total blitz. And then Cincinnati last year, it was more or less the same. But I just, yeah, like it's not the same Jabeur as last year where, you know, she came into Eastbourne playing doubles with Serena and she had already won, you know, Berlin. Like it was,
I forgot about that. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, like it's like just the vibes were all there, let's just say. And I just didn't really like also the quarterfinal against Haddad Maia, where she had loads of chances to win, and then kind of the third set it was just over after like four or five games. And you know, just
yeah, should have won that in straight.
Yeah,
she looked good. Yeah, you know, she looked decent until then, and then
she did. Then, yeah.
It's just like, can we trust her to put together, you know, four matches in a row to make the quarterfinals?
I would love to see it, because I don't think you'll see a bigger Jabeur fan than me, but I think logic is telling me that if Kvitova gets by Paolini and Šašnjević, this could be, she could just go on a run again. Like I could,
yeah.
It's, yeah.
And, you know, Pliskova might not, you know, Pliskova, like I said, Pliskova's not been great either. Stevanović is qualified. Seeing her game is tailor made for grass. She has one of the loudest grunts in tennis. That's an aside, but she also has like, she slices almost every shot that she can. And so she's a very tricky player to play. She's going to make Pliskova bend. You know, Pliskova is a very tall player as well. So she's going to make Pliskova bend very low. And so Pliskova is going to need to be, going to need to make a lot of her serves. But I would be very interested to see an all check battle in the third round between Pliskova and Kvitova. I think that if Kvitova is not at the top of her game and Pliskova is able to make the third round and gain confidence, then that could be a very interesting matchup.
Yeah, for sure. But I would Kvitova to come out of this, though.
I like Kvitova too. My dark horse would be Pliskova. It's again, as much as of a seeded player can be a dark horse.
Yeah. But obviously this next section is interesting with Haddad Maia and Rybakina. And I'm kind of not sure what to make of Rybakina just because of how long that illness has prolonged her, you know?
Like you saw today, report came out that she looked basically terrible in her youngest Sabalenka.
So that's not a good sign. And of course, you know, she looked okay against Bekic. Like, you know, the game was
in the first game, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Like, I mean, she won the first set in a tie break and then basically a couple of breaks in the second and third. And at times her forehand wasn't working as well, but it was the first match on grass. And I thought, okay, you know, I still probably have her as a slight favorite, but now I see this draw. And I also, you know, I think Haddad Maia's finally broke the camera on her back and finally got to the third round of a slam, which she hadn't done. And, you know, she has a good grass court game, obviously. You mentioned, you know, Nottingham last year and winning another title and then getting all the way to the semis of Eastbourne, and then but then crashed out early at Wimbledon. And I just wonder, you know, I mean, Putintseva is going to be a tricky. I could see that being like a close three set tussle for sure.
Yeah, Putintseva just, you know, even though, you know, the grass doesn't necessarily suit her game that well, she's just a competitor. Like she can rally on grass. She'll keep the ball. She'll keep you know, the drop shot going and the slices, and she'll be fiery. That would be a fun one.
Yeah, and obviously there's a chance also for Ostapenko to make amends if she gets to the second round against Tatiana Marina. Obviously a match that she should have absolutely won last year in the fourth round.
You think, so you think, because Kersley is a slight favorite. I lean Maria. Do you lean Maria, Dale?
I do too. I still would lean her. I just think, you know, coming back to where she had that success last year, she was a set away from the Wimbledon final. Like it's,
yeah.
And, you know, she is older now. Like she's not the same player she was a year ago for sure. And she also just came off of a really physical week the week before in, 125 before she played Świątek. So, you know, I definitely think she ran out of gas as well in that first set and probably would have lost anyway. But I just feel like, you know, she's got the kind of pedigree here where Kristea is a bit hot and cold as well. But, you know, I'm slightly leaning Maria.
Yeah. I think Maria, you know, she's won a WTA title this year already on, you know, altitude conditions, not on grass, but still.
She's won two in a row there, right, in Colombia?
Yes. I think last year she beat Rocky Moba. I can't remember who she beat in the final this year, but I know she won it. Then she made, as you mentioned, the Gaiba final, where she was a set away from that title. And then she took it, you know, and then even though she was very fatigued, she still took a set off Świątek, which is a good, you know, it's a good result, you know, given the week prior, how fatigued she was and the fact that she was playing Iga. So I really, you know, I think that that's about as much as we can expect of her. I do think that, and, you know, Ostapenko, I'm sure, would love this rematch as well. I do think Ostapenko would beat her. In terms of, you mentioned earlier, Rybakina, I just, you know, the fact that she won 11 return points across the final two sets of that package match, the fact that she is still clearly struggling with that viral illness, and just, I don't love her draw. Shelby Rogers is a big, you know, can hit the cover off the ball, but she will have a big serve, won't give her that many opportunities on return. Cornet is very crafty, as we saw last year against Świątek. She loves playing at Wimbledon. She also beat Serena at Wimbledon many years ago in one of the lowest days of my tennis watching life. That was very disappointing. And then Katie Bolter in the third round, potentially.
I was going to ask you about Bolter, actually, because I think
it's fine. You know, she has still have the crowd behind her. She'll have some power. Do I expect, you know, and if Rybakina is...
Would a fourth round shock you for Bolter?
It wouldn't shock me. A quarterfinal would shock me. Is that
that's
fair?
Kind of, that's where I have it too. Like, I think I have Bolter in the fourth round just because of like the uncertainty with like the Rybakina and I just think Para's more of a clay quarter and...
Yeah.
Probably see the crowd getting behind Bolter and then, you know, maybe carrying her to the second week, but after that, like, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think that Para will look very good against Boskova in Berlin.
Yeah,
I agree with you though. I think that she's much better on slower, you know, clay, and I just think that I think that the home crowd does play a big factor at Wimbledon. We remember Heather Watson, almost the home crowd almost pushed Watson over Serena. Not too long ago, or maybe it is that long ago, and I'm just feeling old. But
2015. I mean, it was a good match, third round. Yeah.
So you know, the crowd does, you know, even though Wimbledon's a very, and I don't, and this is why I like the U.S. Open better. I like the atmosphere more. But when it comes to the Brits, that the Wimbledon really does, the British crowd get behind their own, and so that's, you know, I would not be shocked if we had a center court Bolter Rybakina match and Bolter won in the third round. Yes. But I actually think that Bolter, this is crazy to even say, that Bolter is a better shot of making the third round compared to Rybakina.
Yeah, so I actually don't disagree because of Rodgers and Courtney probably, but yeah, I mean, and then of course this is the section, you know, with Krejcikova and Bedosa and Sakkari. I mean,
this is fun. This is the bottom of, like, really fun stuff.
I saw somebody put out a tweet. Who do you think Tsitsipas would root for, Sakkari or Bedosa?
Oh man, that Bedosa was as much there. As much as they're, you know, he better with as much as he's posting her in social media, right? I don't, you know, typically I would say upset alert here, right? Because risk on grass, but just, you know, we don't know what Allison's form is going to, you know, what she's going to look like out there.
I also wonder what Keys just coming off of the title and playing a Brit in the first round in Cartel will actually push Andreescu another match with Andreescu. My goodness, like she was in a dogfight 7-5 from the third in Bad Homburg.
I would be worried too in the second round. Guldabic with her backhand slice, with just the way she manipulates the ball around the court. You know, she's not going to go toe to toe power wise, but it would keep the ball out of Keys' strike zone. And then back to what you were saying earlier about Sakkari, I don't think it's a given she beat Kostyuk.
No.
Actually, I know Kostyuk is around 500 on grass, but at the same time, I think that her game. I think she can at least get a set off. I think she will at least get a set off of Sakkari. I think that Kostyuk's, you know, flatter ball striking, bigger serve really does work better on quicker surfaces. And whereas I think Sakkari, although she had some success in Berlin, is not quite the player she is on slower surfaces.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Sakkari on grass is, you know, by far that's where she looks the most uncomfortable. Just watching the match against Maria and then also watching her play against Gio Wong and then, you know, in Nottingham, where certainly there was an opportunity to at least make another semifinal, but it's just, you know, I could see Sakkari maybe getting to the fourth round, but I don't know after that.
Now, would you, how competitive do you think, let's say it's the second round, Mira Andreeva or Krejcikova? How competitive do you think Andreeva could be?
I think she could be fairly competitive, actually. Yeah, I mean, having qualified and also just Krejcikova day-to-day since Miami.
Yeah.
It's been really such a mixed bag. Like, especially, I mean, Birmingham was, of course, encouraging. And, you know, you think maybe if she wins that first set again, whoever won that first set was going to win that final. It was just one of those sets. But And then, you know, playing Heather Watson in the first round that could be an upset alert right there. So, I mean, and then, you know, Kaya Juvan is not bad on the grass too. So
Potapova is rising quickly.
Yeah, Potapova is just like a consistent now fourth round orders like every week. She's
a big game. Like she's pretty, you know, when she first came on the scene, I thought she was a little more, I think she was definitely more defensive than she is now, where she's just unloading on forehands. I don't necessarily know if I trust her on grass as much, but that would not be an easy third rounder.
No.
So I really, you know, this is a pretty, you know, I think there's a lot of contenders here, you know, and even look at Naif, you know, beating Yastremska in qualies. You know, she's much better on grass than I expected her to be, given what I saw from her on clay. This is a wide open quarter, though. A lot of contenders, but no no clear favorite. Do you agree with that?
I do. Yeah, I might just pick Potapova honestly to get out of this section, just because I'm probably more sure about her than Krejcikova right now. Mm-hmm. And I also just think, you know, if she plays Sakkari in the fourth round or something, I could see finally Potapova having a quarterfinal breakthrough. Let's say.
You know what? I was going to pick Krejcikova. Oh, man.
You probably could, just because, like, Krejcikova
I think I'm going to go with Krejcikova. Just the experience factor as well. Just you've been around longer.
Yes.
I mean, she's probably played a higher number of grass court matches, which, again, I know I'm, like, talking about that. I really do think on grass, you know.
On grass, that means a lot more, for sure.
On grass, let's see. She's 18. You know what? Okay, I'm just to keep it interesting. I'll go with Krejcikova. And then for a dark horse, I can't have a dark horse that you're.
Probably Andrea will.
I'll go. No, I'm going to go Golubic. I think I would. something tells me that she's going to upset Keys in the second round.
I probably have that. Like, if it's, I want to see what the line is between her and Keys if they play in the second round, because I think that would be, should be close to a 50-50 if people are watching the first round.
Yeah, and I remember what we were saying too about Eastbourne finalists don't necessarily do that well at Wimbledon.
And Keys' grass court results haven't translated that well to Wimbledon either, apart from 2015, where she made the quarterfinals.
Although I'd love to see Mira. Yeah, I love seeing these new players coming up. And, you know, so I'm rooting for Mira. I thought that she, you know, I think that the French Open, it was just, you know, she just got frustrated and overwhelmed by the crowd, by just the occasion against Goff a little bit after the first set. Like, and I feel like, you know, as she goes through more majors, hopefully she starts gaining that maturity that, you know, Coco, which maybe we took for granted because Coco had that at such a young age, you know, where maybe I just expected that, you know, everyone to kind of be that way. I hopefully, you know, now that she's kind of had like a major where she's, you know, won a few rounds under her belt, that she can really like just relax and play her tennis, you know, in the main draw here.
Yeah, that's a good assessment. I mean, and then this section is the one filled with checks, of course. With
this is crazy. This is like another like Mukova, Noskova, Alexandrova, Georgie, and Sabalenka. Like,
five of the biggest power players who took them all in the same section. I mean, well, I feel like Mukova and Niemeyer is a fun match to watch, and so is.
Quarterfinals last year, right?
Yep.
She lost to Rybakina, I believe.
She did, yeah. It was fairly tight, too. I think.
Noskova is good on quicker surfaces. You know, Alexandrova's won a title on grass this season already. I mean, that's like, you know, and Georgie, you know, might lose to Kratcheva, but she's 2-1 in the head-to-head against Sabalenka.
Yeah, I was going to say, if she plays Sabalenka, that could be a banana skin for Sabalenka.
She's won on grass against Sabalenka, and she's won the major at last year's French Open. So she's not going to be scared of playing Sabalenka. But then again, can we really, you know, we just saw Georgie lose to Venus Williams. Can we really even expect her to beat Kratcheva? Who knows, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Blinkova and Marino are always someone better on the grass. Same to the Whitmire, but she's not in that form, of course. And then you also have... Yeah, probably you'll have your eyes on Brangle versus Nirani, for sure. I know you'll be watching that one, David.
And I also like Irina Begu. I actually think she has a good shot against... and Marino is not... You know, you'd think Marino, big serve, big game, but the results, lately at least, have not exactly translated, and just the difference in rally tolerance and movement between the two is pretty big. I just want to watch Kaya Mukova more and more, just because she's so fun to watch.
She is the most fun player to watch right now in the WTA. Like,
doesn't her game translate so well to grass too?
Yeah, I mean, she's made 2 Wimbledon quarterfinals already, and if she could do that to Świątek on clay, you know, then just like imagine, like it's one of those Ash Barty kind of a things where it's like just so perfectly suited to grass. But now the question is, the draw is brutal. And I think she has the worst draw of any of the top 16 seeds by far. Like, I feel confident in saying that. I mean, you have Niemeyer, you have Noshkova, you have Alexandrova, and you have Sabalenka. Like, what is a tougher route to the quarterfinal than those four?
Yeah. And it's...
And there's question marks about her health, about her fitness, I presume, and obviously the hangover from the French Open as well.
But she was also, a report came out, she was injured during that match against...
She was, yes.
Yeah, so
there were fatigue issues.
And as we've been saying, you know, grass court preparations are very important. So, you know, the fact that she hasn't played on grass.
You know, if she had a couple of easy rounds, like, that wouldn't even matter. Like, I think she could just work her way through, but not against Niemeyer.
Yeah, if she, let's say, played Brangle or Irani, you know, she would probably come through easily. By the way, I think Irani has a decent shot there, but we'll see. In that one match.
Yes.
I just feel like she's also just going to go up against, I think Alexandrova this year on grass is buzzsaw, you know, to an extent. And so I don't love, and I know Alexandrova has never made a second week at a slam before, But I don't love that draw, you know, even, you know, beyond the first two rounds for Vukova.
I do. And then she also, you know, Alexandrova, it's one of those, like, she had match point against Aranmaya. It's like, yeah, if she wins that one point, you know, it's one of those, like, what ifs.
Yeah. But she probably would have beaten Cerebus Tormo. I think that was Cerebus Tormo was the fourth round.
Yeah. And then she would have played Jabor. But anyway, it's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Navarro is pretty good on the grass too, but again, like, she's going deep this week, and also it's just
she's playing a buzzsaw. Yeah, and I just don't buzzsaw, yeah. I think she's just a little too, and I think I really was impressed much with how she adapted her game to grass, because I always thought of her as like a slower surface with that heavy forehand player. Yeah, maybe it's just all the Charleston wild cards over the years. I see her on grass on clay at the highest levels more. But I just feel like, you know, she's just a little too limited as a player to take on a big ball striker, you know, just a game grass player in Alexandrova. I think that her second serve is going to sit up too much for Alexandrova. And I just don't think that she's going to be able to get into that many return games. Whereas, you know, I think it's another player, bad draw, because I think if she played Brengel or Irani or, you know, Tomova or Knight or, you know, Betova, she would be fine. But just a tough draw.
Yeah. I'm going to say this is where we have the most shocking upsets, maybe, like, in terms of, would it shock you if, like, Alexandrova came out of this quarter? Probably not, right? Or I maybe think a little bit. Like, if it's her against Sabalenka. Or something. Let's say she beats Vukova and Sabalenka back to back to get to the quarters.
That would not shock me. No, I that's so in the fact, I think that that's what I mean. I don't think she's going to beat Sabalenka in the I think she's going to. I don't know who she's going to beat. I think she's going to go through this section though.
I do too. I now I have Potapova and Alexandrova in my quarters.
Yeah, I mean that would be a. You know, that would be a very interesting quarterfinal. I really do. You know, maybe not the biggest, you know, names in the book, but in terms of just like really strong players.
I love it when two big hitters like play each other in the WTA. Like, that's one of my favorite matches to watch right now. Like, even this might be an unpopular opinion, but like, I loved watching Sabalenka versus Pliskova, for example, in the semifinal. You know, 3 years ago. Like, it was just bang, bang, big first strike tennis.
I remember that match. There were more, you know, in the women's side, there's always more rallies, even for the power players than you think, you know. Whereas in the men's, and this is why, especially on faster serve, I like women's tennis more, is just because, you know, there's only so many times I can watch, you know, your Raonic's, you know.
Raonic's Isner, you know.
I know that I'm like dating myself with that, you know, Isner's, or, you know, whoever. Yeah. Where it's like, even like with your Sabalenkas or Rybakinas or Alexandrovas, you're going to hit a lot of some aces on return serves. You're still getting more baseline tennis, which is enjoy.
All right, I feel like we could go on like 3 hours, but it's okay. Now we got to make our picks, man.
Okay, this is where shit hits the fan, right? Okay. Do you want me to make my pick?
Sure. I mean, let's just go semifinal, final winner. How about that?
Ready? So semifinals, I'm going to have Iga. I'm going to have Kudermetova. Guess I'll go with... Oh, this is where it gets hard, and that's in the bottom. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Ostapenko, and I'm going to go with Alexandrova. Who are your semifinal?
Okay, I got Iga in the top, and then I have Iga against... I have Vekic in my quarters. I'll tell you that. And then,
This is
tough. It is. It's really hard.
Tougher than... Like, in clay, you can be like, Iga to go all the way. You know, not even think about it. Now it's like, oh man, she has a great draw and she's the best player in the world, but this is the worst surface, and it's like a mind fuck.
I'll keep riding the Donna Vekic train. I'll just say Iga and Donna Vekic.
Okay.
For my first semifinal, and then I'll say Alexandrova.
Okay, good. We're on the same page there.
I know Joel is getting to the semis. Again. Kavitama.
Okay. That's... Who did I add?
Well, yeah. Like, it's going to be Ostapenko versus Kavitama, and then that's, like, flip a coin, basically.
Yeah. I like that. And they almost played in the first round of this past week, Kavitama pulled out, which I think was a great decision. Okay, so then in the semifinals, I'm going to have Iga in three, and then I'm gonna have Ostapenko in three.
Wow,
I don't. Oh God,
I'm gonna get screwed over now because I'm literally gonna pick for Kavitova to win this thing.
No, I'm gonna go with Alexandrova in three. Actually, I'm changing my mind. I'm like, do I really trust any of these players? Like, Alexandrova never made a second week. Ostapenko can hit herself out of any match. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking, I promised myself I wouldn't do this. I literally promised myself I'm not going to pick Kavitova to lose in the first round, and I'm not going to pick her to win the thing. I'm going to go somewhere in between in the fourth round, but now I look at this draw, and I'm just like, I don't know who else I trust. So it's like, now I have to ride the Kvitova bandwagon.
You didn't really trust Kvitova, given what we've seen in years past either. It's like...
No, I know. That's what I mean. It's like a first round loss or all the way. Like, and then I know last year she got to the, third round, and then Badosa took her out. But
that was a bad... She played a bad match against Badosa. Right. Like, that was an unacceptable loss, in my opinion.
But, I like that she didn't play Eastbourne this week, because at least that means, after, if Kvitova and Swiatek play each other, I'm going to say Kvitova beats Alexandrova.
Okay.
And in both the titles that Kvitova has won, she's beaten Alexandrova. I think she's going to do it for the third time. I think it's just a better matchup. I can just trust her more. She's in the semis now. And then Swiatek. I think Swiatek is going to get to the final she's going to beat Vekic.
And so you have Swiatek versus Kvitova. I have Swiatek versus Alexandrova. Okay, I have, if that's the matchup, I have Swiatek winning, I'm going to say, in three sets. I don't trust Alexandrova in her first Grand Slam final in that spot. What do you think? And this is, what the hell happened? I really have Swiatek winning Wimbledon?
I have Swiatek winning Wimbledon too. I think she's going to beat Kvitova in the final. I do.
It's just like, if you had told me before the draw came out, I would have had that. I would have said, what the? Swiatek, Alexandra. I mean, I would have Alexandrova maybe, but what? But it just makes sense, right?
Yeah, it just works because, she didn't go all the way this week. But more importantly than that, it's just most important thing is she avoided all those big hitters.
Yeah.
And it's every single one that's like a flat, big power for a strike tennis player. They can just rush her, make her, challenge her movement, just every single thing.
And with every match, she's going to gain more confidence and more competence.
And the grass is going to slow down. It's going to be all brown in the second week, and it's going to be playing more and more like a hard court.
Yeah, she really won the draw lottery. Is it it's like the rich get richer, right? As if she needed it. I mean, she did need it on grass.
But this would be huge. It's still going to be massive for her to, go all the way and, actually...
Because then the career Grand Slam comes right into sight.
Yes.
Because I always expected it to be Wimbledon, the one that probably she never wins. But if she can win this one, then it's a realistic possibility.
Yeah, for sure. But we both had Iga coming through. And I guess we broke this out in quite extreme detail, which was fun as always. And for the first time,
I'm sorry if I'm a little long-winded. I love talking about this stuff.
I did too. No, it was a lot of fun, dude. We were at risk of going 4 hours, so I gotta...
That's why it's always good when the podcast host keep me on track, because if you don't keep on track, Manish, I will just, talk.
No, I'm glad. I mean, and if our listeners are still listening into this, 80, 85 minutes in, that means, you're, hardcore, so...
Yeah.
This is
probably the... listening to this podcast for the most part, do you find that it's more casuals or more hardcore? I don't know if you think
it's kind of somewhere in between, but there's also those really diehards that would want to analyze, I don't know, Donovan-ish a slice or something, and they'll listen to this. I don't know.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love the little comment section on y'all's talking tennis stuff too. Like when y'all did the actor stuff, like just hearing everybody like chime in, which was fun. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. Seriously, thank you so much.
It was a blast, and we'll definitely do this again, David. And where can the listeners, you know, find your work and follow you?
So yeah, you can follow me at TennisBlogger1, and then that's my Twitter, and then you can also my tennis Twitter, and then you can also find me on. I'm gonna be producing a lot of Action Network content over the next few weeks. And so it will be all over my timeline. And if you go to actionnetwork.com, you click on the tennis link, and then you'll find it there as well. I just wrote up this morning a Wimbledon women's outright preview. And then tomorrow I'm going to start working on the individual matches. So yeah, I really do appreciate any support. And so, yeah. And I'm excited to consume y'all's your content too, Vansh. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, David. And I love reading your tweets and love looking at all your stuff. And I'm sure I'll check out, me and the listeners will all check out Action Network, and we know exactly where to find you. So yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.